The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when they had said this, he breathed on them. And then he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. John ends his gospel by letting us know that there are many things that Jesus did and taught that weren't recorded. But all that is recorded is all we need to have faith. One of the stories that wasn't recorded is that Thomas was out at Domino's picking up the pizzas. He was the only one courageous enough to leave that locked room where the disciples were hiding in fear after the crucifixion of their friend. So it's doubting Thomas, yes, but doubting courageously. I'm not sure if that was recorded. But we do know that he wasn't there on that first day of the week when Jesus appeared. And the rest of the disciples have this amazing experience. They've seen the Lord. And they try to convince Thomas, and he's like, "No way. You guys are crazy." Now, how many people have met someone on fire for Jesus and thought they were, well, a bit crazy? How many people who are on fire for Jesus who meet us find us a bit, well, crazy? Like, we are so excited about our personal relationship with the risen Lord that we want to tell everyone around us, and they go, "I'm not really interested, okay?" I mean, they say it more forcefully than that, usually. And I'm not suggesting we go door to door, but there's something about sharing the new life we have in the resurrected Lord that should move us to share that joy with others, and yet that joy is often unwelcomed, or no one's interested, or they find us, well, a little crazy. Especially now, 2,000 years later, "Oh yeah, I know all about that Christianity stuff, no thanks." And yet Thomas has doubts. The very same Thomas who on his way to Jerusalem with Jesus says, "We will go with you, Lord, and die with you." Right? Remember, he's one of the sons of thunder? He's excited about this. He's ready to do something with his faith. That's why he was courageously out getting the pizza. And yet, his response is, I'm not going to believe until I probe the marks of the nails. Whoa. Like, maybe just a hug, Thomas, you know, something. Can you see Jesus showing up? I mean, in my mind, I see Jesus showing up a week later saying, come here, Thomas, let's go out back. You need to come to Jesus meeting, all right? In this way, you want to probe the nail marks of the Lord of glory? Are you crazy? Or is Thomas on to something? That in that brokenness, he'll find the Lord. In that woundedness, he'll find a God who loves him so much that he went to the cross. I think Thomas is onto something. That we do need to spend some time with the wounds of Jesus. We really need to spend some time probing the depth of God's love, whose Son went to the cross that we might have eternal life. Whose Son went to the cross that we might never suffer death and loss. Right before the resurrection, death meant the end. Right? You die and you rot. That was it. Remember Martha at the tomb of Lazarus? Lord, don't go in there. Don't open that tomb. He's been dead 4 days. It's gonna really stink. She was convinced her brother was in there rotting. And he may well have been. And Jesus said, you know, that's not the end anymore. We have a new ending. It's like he took the end of the book of life and he ripped it off and he added a whole nother chapter that lasts unto eternity. That's huge news. I mean, it used to be that we died and then nothing. Void, blank. Now we die and we join our resurrected Lord in the kingdom of heaven. That is a very big change. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate Easter. And every year we need to spend some time with that new life we have, with that transformation and love that God gives us. And I'd suggest God is doing it or hoping to do it in 4 areas of our life. Remember the shalom of God? The people at the last 2 masses were able to rattle it right off. The 4 parts of the shalom of God. I'm just kidding. They had no clue. And I've been preaching about it for 5 years and nobody's listening. Well, it's a big concept and I'll share it again. In today's gospel, Jesus says shalom 3 times. That should catch our attention. Anytime Jesus is doing something more than once, we should pay attention. He does it 3 times. And next week, we'll hear another time Jesus does something 3 times, if you want to read ahead. And we need to pay attention when something like that happens. Well, the shalom of God, that peace be with you that Jesus can only give, is to be in right relationship. In those relationships that everything is right. There's no injustice, there's no discrimination, everything is as God intended way back at the Garden of Eden when all was right. That's the created order that Jesus is reestablishing with his resurrection. And so those 4 areas of shalom are right relationship with God the Father, creator of the universe, creator of our very being, right relationship with our very being, right relationship with ourselves. Knowing that we have a God who so loves us that he went to the cross for us. That should boost our self-esteem a bit, right? Oh, yeah, I'm worthless. Not in God's eyes. God went to the cross for you and for me. There's no worthless creation of God. It's all inestimably valuable. The third area, the shalom of God, is to be right relationship with our brothers and sisters, those we like and, well, those we don't like. That all those relationships in the human family might be right. Wouldn't that bring an end to the military-industrial complex? Right? We just wouldn't need anything. That was the vision of pounding swords into plowshares and pruning hooks, because you wouldn't need the implements of war any longer if you were in right relationship with your brother and sister. Jesus wants to give us that right relationship. The last area is to be right in relationship with all of creation. Well, that's big, isn't it? In Genesis, in our translation, it says, after God had created the earth, he gave to Adam and Eve the job of being stewards of the garden. And often it says to subdue the earth, right? Well, a better translation of that Hebrew is on the back of your police car. To serve and protect. As God's creation, as stewards of God's creation, we are to serve and protect the created world that God has given us. We're to care for it, like you'd care and tend a garden. And so those are the four areas of the shalom of God. To be in right relationship with God, right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with all of our brothers and sisters, those we like, those we don't like, and to buy right relationship with all of creation. That's when Jesus says, peace be with you. When in the liturgy, I say, peace be with you. That's what we're talking about. The shalom of God. It's really big. Now, how does it come about? It comes about through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? What did he say would happen? You would speak in tongues. No. What did he say? They're going, and I don't read lips, so. Oh, forgiveness of sins. Thank you. The choir gets it right every time. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit to forgive sins. If you're wondering how your life is going with God, if you're wondering how active the Holy Spirit is in you, this would happen. Someone would come up to you and say, you know, I'm so sorry for offending you last week, and you'd have no idea what they were talking about. Because you had already forgiven them and set them free. And once set free, it's like short-term memory loss. It's gone. If we have the Holy Spirit living in us, our first reaction is to forgive. Our first reaction is to love, to have all of those relationships be right, to be whole, to be pure, to be given by God to us. Let us live in that Holy Spirit as we pray for the next 42 days for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that we might learn to forgive as God has forgiven us. Then we know the Holy Spirit is living large in us.